Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll turn our attention to Acts chapter 5, selected verses. The high priest rose up, along with his associates, that is, the party of the Sadducees, because they were filled with envy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple, and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life." After they heard this, they entered the temple courts at daybreak and began to teach. Then the captain went with the officers and brought the apostles in without force, because they were afraid that the people might stone them. After they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin. The high priest asked them, "Did we not give you strict orders not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our forefathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his right hand as Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." We pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What holds you back? What keeps you from witnessing to others about Jesus? Since most Christians don't witness about their faith a lot, the list is probably a pretty long list. Many people list fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of making matters worse, doing more harm than good. And so they decide, well, we'll just leave witnessing up to the professionals, the pastors, the teachers, maybe someone serving on the evangelism committee. We'll leave it up to them. And it is true that not everyone has the gift of evangelism mentioned in the Bible, but on the other hand, it is also very clear that every Christian is a witness. The Apostle Peter reminds us that all of us are to be always ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us about the hope that we have in Jesus. People are often afraid of the social consequences of witnessing about Jesus. They don't want people to think that they're weird or some belong to some kind of a strange cult. People are afraid of losing friends or being canceled. Those aren't unfounded fears. Those are things that can and do happen if we witness about our faith and tell people about God's word and what Jesus has done. There are lots of things that the devil tries to use. Our own fears, pressure from the outside, threats from the outside, whatever he can to keep us from witnessing about Jesus. He doesn't want that witness to be heard by others. As we go through the book of Acts during the Easter season, the first reading is from the book of Acts. We'll see how he pulls out all the stops, does everything he can to try and keep the witness about Jesus silent, to keep the apostles silent about what they had seen and heard. But we also see many times where witness is victorious over restraint, and the apostles do share, and other Christians do share what they know about Jesus. At first, the apostles were very restrained, silent. Those first 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead, they were gathered together, huddled together, keeping to themselves. Part of the reason was they were afraid of persecution. But part of the reason was also that Jesus had told them just to wait, to go to Jerusalem and wait until he gave them the gift that he promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. After Pentecost, when Jesus fulfilled that promise and poured out the Holy Spirit on them, they were without restraint. They were boldly witnessing to thousands of people on the day of Pentecost. And they got the joy of seeing the Holy Spirit work powerfully through their witness in the hearts of many people. 3,000 were brought to repentance, to faith in Jesus, were baptized, all on one day. Like us, the disciples had been filled with fears. But when the Holy Spirit helped them focus on Jesus instead of focusing on themselves, witness was victorious over restraint. Like us, they got to see how powerful the Holy Spirit was in working through their witness. Their hearts were filled to overflowing with things that they had heard and seen, and they admitted, we can't help it. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't help but speak about the things that we have heard and seen. We all know that feeling. We all know how it is when you're really excited about something. Something really good has happened. You can't wait to tell someone. You feel like you might burst if you don't. Prophet Jeremiah said there was a time when he thought that he could keep God's word to himself, and he said, well, it didn't really work because it was like a fire inside of me and it just had to burst out. There's no better news in the world than the good news that Jesus came to save sinners, including me. There's no better news in the world than that Jesus lived and died to pay for my sins, and because he rose from the dead, I and all people will be raised to live with him forever. Witness is victorious over restraint when you focus on the fact that Jesus lived and died and rose again so that you could live forever with him in glory. Sometimes, though, things happen that kind of tamp down your enthusiasm, that kind of restrain your desire to witness. The apostles knew that a lot better than we do. They were thrown in prison. The chief priests, the Sadducees, those same people who had been successful at getting Jesus arrested and crucified, had warned them, you better not keep talking about Jesus. Stop teaching on the basis of Jesus' name. And when they didn't stop, the Jewish leaders had them thrown in jail, intending to bring them out on the next morning. Being thrown in jail for your witness does kind of tend to restrain you, doesn't it? It makes you ask that all-important question. What are you willing to give up because you're witnessing about Jesus? Your livelihood? Your friends? Even your life? What are you willing to give up because you're witnessing for Jesus? And our minds go to things like this. We think, well, maybe if I'm a little restrained, maybe if I'm silent, maybe if I kind of keep it to myself, maybe if I take my witness underground, maybe that'll be fine. I mean, after all, you can't witness to anybody, really, if you're in prison or if you're dead. So wouldn't that be better? That's how our minds work. But what happened when the apostles were put in prison? During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors to the prison, brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life. Should the apostles go underground? Should they keep their message silent? Not be as public? God's answer was clearly no. The angel said, go. The angel said, go stand in the most public place there is, the temple courts of God, and keep on doing what you were doing. Keep on doing what you were told not to do. Keep on witnessing about Jesus. When it seems that we are being restrained by rules of social media, by the attitudes of our friends and neighbors, we need to be reminded about what Jesus said, too. He did say, go. He did say, make disciples of all nations. He did say, continue to proclaim the fact that I am the Savior, teaching them everything I have commanded you." The apostles did what the angel told them to do, in spite of the fact that they knew what was probably going to happen. They would be arrested again. They would be brought to stand before the judges, before the Sanhedrin, and called to answer, "Why are you doing things that we've warned you that you better not do?" What the Jewish leaders tried to use to restrain their witness, the apostles used as an opportunity to witness. Their first response to the question and the threats of the Sanhedrin was to state a clear and eternal truth. Whenever you're faced with that choice to obey an authority, an earthly authority, even an earthly authority appointed by God, in this case, the leaders of God's church, to obey them or to obey God, the answer always is, it is necessary to obey God rather than man. Jesus pointed it out too. He said, "We are not to be afraid of those who can just kill the body. But we are to fear to give honor and respect and obedience above all things to the one who holds our eternal destiny in his hands." We always obey God more than man. When the high priest revealed his true reason for attempting to restrain the witness of the apostles, they felt the apostles were making them guilty, bringing Jesus' blood down on them. They used that as an opportunity to witness. They very clearly pointed out God's law. They didn't hold back at all. They said, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross. We're not bringing Jesus' blood down on you. You did that yourselves. You were the ones who lied about him. You were the ones that brought false accusations. You were the ones that successfully got him executed, even though Pilate knew he was innocent. We didn't do that. You did that to yourselves. You're the ones who said, 'Let his blood be on us and on our children.' Your guilt is deserved. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. God raised Jesus from the dead." Now remember, Luke told us just briefly at the beginning of this reading that the high priest and his associates were part of the sect of the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe that there was any such thing as a bodily resurrection. But Jesus rose from the dead. And you can imagine that those leaders were feverishly doing everything they could because they were sure they could find Jesus' body somewhere so they could show it and say, "Nope, Jesus didn't rise. See, there's his body." But they couldn't do it because Jesus rose from the dead. The stone, the seal, the soldiers, nothing could stop him. He rose from the dead just as he said, and now God has exalted Jesus to his right hand. Do you remember, Jewish leaders, high priest, what Jesus said when you put him on trial? "You'll see me again, sitting at the right hand of the Father, coming in the clouds of heaven." God has exalted him. He is the Prince and Savior. He is the promised Messiah. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, in spite of what you have done, he wants you to have repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's why he came. Repent, admit what you've done wrong, confess your sins. He won't hold it against you. He said, "Father, forgive them." He already asked the Father to punish him in your place. The restraint others try to put on us still today comes from the same place as the restraint that the Jewish leaders tried to put on the apostles, often comes from guilt. If you share God's word, people are going to feel guilty when it points out their sins. Whether it's what someone considers a big sin, murder, adultery, abortion, divorce, whatever. Or what someone considers a little sin, failing to witness about Jesus, foul language, discontent. When God's law points out sin, people feel guilt, and they'll have one of two reactions. The reaction that the Jewish leaders had: anger, hatred, trying to silence the one they think is making them feel guilty. Or, like the people on Pentecost, cut to the heart, asking, how can we possibly be saved? It's the latter. It fills our hearts with joy because we get to witness, we get to tell them how they can be saved. They are saved. Jesus paid for their sins. He died and rose again for them. And we get to see with great joy the power of the Holy Spirit, just like on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts to give them joy and peace as they see that Jesus is their Savior from sin. And that joy helps us to have our witness be victorious over restraint. Satan will try a lot of things. Our personal insecurities, our personal fears, threats from the outside, whatever he can to keep us silent. He doesn't want us to witness about our faith. He knows how powerful God's word is. He knows that if we share God's word, the Holy Spirit will be at work and people will be brought to repentance and faith. And he doesn't want to see that happen. But as the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith through the word and the sacraments, as he enables us to see people who are brought from the darkness of unbelief to the light of faith, to see the peace and joy that they have because we've shared Jesus with them and the Holy Spirit has worked through the word, then we see that witness is victorious over restraint. Amen. The peace of God that passes